anybody want me to pass out cheesecake before we get started?
No, I'm going to wait till break.
Yeah, okay. That's what I was thinking. We'd come back. And we're back. We've got cheesecake.
Yes.
I was picturing that.
Homemade amaretto cheesecake.
Amaretto cheesecake.
Whoa. Yeah.
I know, right? So we're getting hammered.
Unfortunately, it cooks out.
Damn it.
The flavor stays.
Yes. And it was the burnt one that was overcooked. I had to try a little bit of it.
Oh, no.
I had a little more than I normally put in it, so it was very flavorful.
You're about to enter into a world where all those classic movie monsters are still alive. A time when scary movies were fun for the whole family. And a place where the only colors you'll find are black, white, and shades of gray. Welcome to the Mimiverse.
Oh, she's the cat's meow.
What if she stole my pants?
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Mimiverse Bonfire Podcast.
It's November. Can you believe it? We're outside.
It's,
what?
It's actually Saturday, November 12th.
And we still haven't had a freeze here in Minnesota.
It's what? actually, whenever you listen to this, think back. What were you doing at 4:40 p.m. as Saturday, November 12th?
I was sitting at the bonfire.
You were, yes, and other people were as well.
Oh, really?
It's 52 glorious degrees outside, and as my co-host here, that would be Ruby. Say hi.
Hi.
And we haven't had a hard freeze in Minnesota yet, so.
No, but the sun's starting to go down.
It
so
is. It's going
to
get cold seasonal. Fast.
Yes, so let's talk fast. Let's introduce our peoples.
Actually, we got to give a sad shout out to the writer director for, I keep saying that. Writer director Christopher R. Mim is actually not here today. His whole family has got the plague. Yep. We're going to just say the plague. And he did not feel comfortable coming, and nor did he feel like he wanted to infect anybody else. So thank you, Chris, for that, because we were sick last month.
Yep.
And that was no fun, let me tell you that. So yep. We are proud. So there's going to be no more one more thing, unless one of us says it, like I just did.
No.
Our esteemed guest, we're welcoming her back to the show.
As a real guest this time.
As a real guest this time. You know her.
Guest.
You love her. Her name is Rachel Grubb.
Hello!
golf clap. She was one of the stars of Where Skeeto Nazi Hunter. So we're going to talk to her about that. And, you know, general Mimiverse things like we do. Welcoming her back. Like,
in fact, yes.
Yes, exactly. Got to give a huge shout out to our fire tenders, plural, today.
Two of them.
A gal who has, ever since the Monster Phantom Lake, the musical, she has been voicing her her desire to be a fire tender.
That's true. She accosted us in Menominee. Not really. She was very kind.
But she lives here in Minnesota.
Yes.
And her name is Teresa Perkins. And she, would you go on record as to say you are a super fan?
Maybe.
All right. Good deal.
Your first premiere was?
The first Monster Phantom Lake.
Oh, uh-huh, see?
I didn't actually get to go to that premiere.
Right on.
Midnight at the Heights Theater.
Nice.
There you go.
My cousin.
And the gal that we're going to affectionately call mom for the rest of the podcast would be Teresa's mother. Also a big fan of the Mimiverse. Her name is Ann Perkins. But we're, like I said, from now on, we're going to call her mom. So welcome to the show, mom.
Thank you. I'd love to be here.
Fantastic. So, Rachel's here, dear.
Yeah.
You guys are Monkees fans.
Big Monkees
fans. We're not going to talk about that, though.
We were nerding out.
Yes.
Actually, before we get started, I gotta say,
we're other fans of other things too. But
that's true. I gotta say, going back to our fire tender, our primary fire tender, that would be Teresa. She is going for the most done up award.
Yeah, girl.
And also, there's another award she's going for. Would be the fire tender who has provided us with the most food.
You mean the most prepared?
Yes.
Oh. Yes, I think that's all around the most prepared fire
tender. With a nice outfit and
yes.
And,
she looks very lovely.
I'm
she's very got a very nice dress on. It's kind of amazing because it's, like I said, it's 52 degrees outside right now and it's just going to get colder. But you're a hearty gal.
Yes, and I was born in Minnesota.
There you go. And check the Facebook page for all the pictures for all the food, because they literally, there's amaretto cheesecake, which, what did we decide we were going to do?
We're going to get drink drunk.
Drink drunk.
It's going to be awesome.
Or when we get to break, we're going to all come back in eating cheesecake. So it's our little subtle shout out to Chris for him not being here, because you know how much he always likes to eat on the microphones.
Yes.
So enough about that. So Rachel Grubb's back there.
Yeah.
You might have seen Where Skeeto Nazi Hunter. If you haven't seen it yet, you can get it at
SaintEuphoria.com. Spell it out. SaintEuphoria. Good God, go buy it already. What's wrong with you people?
She can just rattle that off. It's just truly amazing. I'm like, I'd have to...
I type it into the internet at least 3 times a month.
Okay.
Well, saying it, of course.
Yeah.
So, so, you were in Where Skeeto Nazi Hunter. Spoilers for those of you who haven't seen it. Again, go buy it.
Yeah, there's going to be spoilers in this one. We're assuming you've already seen it, you guys.
Okay, good. Then I can talk about it.
Yeah, we're there excited to, because the last one we didn't really talk about.
We purposely chose the guest that we did, A, because we were really late and we were sick and a lot of things happened. Oh, P.S., by the way, sorry about the audio quality there, folks.
Don't apologize.
Sorry.
He's trying to find a nice medium so they're not ginormous files.
So how did Chris how did Chris approach you with Where Skeeto Nazi Hunter?
Well, like, it's funny because he and I had been talking about working together again for like quite a while. I mean, it just there was, you know, one that was supposed to happen that ended up being X the Fiend from Beyond Space that I was going to be in, and then he wanted to do, you know, movie with his kids.
That was Reform School Girls.
Yes, that was the one that was to be.
Reform School Girls was to be. I was going to be in that, and that didn't happen. And then he wanted to do the movie with his kids, and of course he had to do that pretty much then, because I mean they're going to be grown up and too old to do it before you know it. So so then he's like, yeah, finally this next one. And he told me about this one that he'd work on, and I think he said he chose it because people just liked the title so much, and he's like, yeah, that's the one I'm going to go with. And he said, yeah, you're in this one. And I was already like, yeah, I'm going to do whatever, because it's been too long. It's been
Agreed.
Since Cavewoman on Mars. That was a long time ago.
Which actually brings up a question that Chris wanted me to ask you. Even though he is sick, he felt like he wouldn't transmit his germs over text message.
Probably.
So one of his questions that he wanted either of us to ask on his behalf was, ask her if coming back to the Mimiverse fold after so long was worth it.
Oh, yeah, definitely it was worth it. I was so excited. In fact, it just... I mean, I loved doing the first two movies, but I enjoyed this one a lot more. It was a much... It was a much more complex role to be playing, and it was really fun to be able to do that in Chris's movies. After the premiere, it was funny because Mike Cook came up to me and said... He said, that was a brilliant and understated performance. And then he kept saying, and I don't mean to sound so surprised, because he was laughing because he felt like, he's like, not that I didn't think you were a good actress before. I'm like, yeah, I know. But it's kind of different to see that kind of acting in one of Chris's movies, because the acting is good, but it's a different kind of good. The way that the characters were in Where Skeeto was...
much more subtle.
Yeah. there was a lot more to do. There was a lot more complexity. There were so many different emotions going on for the characters. And it, yes, it was a lot of fun. And I hope I can continue to work with Chris a lot.
We all do, too.
Yeah. Well, actually, that was part of my question was when he asked you, did he just have a script in mind or did he already have a script and say, I want you to do this one, please read it? Or did he not give you the sense?
I don't know. Okay. I think he just said, like, you're the female lead in this one. And he didn't even tell me that much about the character. Cause, okay. I mean, he knew I was going to do it anyway.
Okay.
So
that's cool. Because when I read Reform School Girls, which I had a role in also, I was like, Chris, I don't know about this role. And he was like, oh, it's Rachel. And I was like, oh, it'll be fine.
Yeah, that's...
Because it was so much internal dialogue, action, weird stuff going on.
Yes, that and I don't want to say too much about it because I do think he wants to make that one day, but it was, there was like a lot. There was about three different things that I was doing at once.
Yes.
In that, which was, I was so looking forward to doing that. So, I mean, I'm hoping he does it one day.
Well, we do have the script upstairs, so if you'd like to do dramatic readings from the movie that was never made... That would be fine.
Yeah,
but yeah, it was
three of us around this fire have seen the script for Reform School Girls.
It was there was a lot of things about it that didn't work, but that was a thing that was so weird and bizarre and, like I said, so much internal monologue and so much internal fighting.
Yes.
That it would have taken a capital R a real actor to be able to do it, not necessarily a 50s Mimiverse kind of actor.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I was not looking forward to the movie, but I was looking forward to seeing what you did with the movie. So
you were not looking forward to the movie?
No.
Why not?
I thought it was too heavy-handed in a number of places.
I see.
But I'm sure it'll
be... Wait, you're talking Reform School Girls, right?
Reform School Girls.
Oh, okay. All right.
I think that it will be a stronger script later on. I think as it was not a great choice.
I hope that one day it is.
It's a great idea.
Because it was another title that, like, I remember when we were at the premiere of, God, I can't even remember what it was. Maybe it was Danny Johnson that, like, we were talking about, there was this movie he was going to do called Reform School Girls versus the Space Monster, and everybody was like, oh my God,
he's
still going to do that? That sounds so cool. And it's like Where Skeet Our Nazi Hunter. People thought it was really cool.
Yes.
The title sounds really awesome.
He has a knack for coming up with good titles for films.
True fact. So. True fact.
This actually has been almost kind of, we should almost say, the year of Rachel. Because not only has 2016 been the big premiere of Where Skeet Our Nazi Hunter, the 11th film in the series of Christopher R. Mims films, it was also the Monster of Phantom Mitch. Lake... the re-release in 3D, of which you had a role in that.
Yes.
And also, there was also the Monster of Phantom Lake, the musical exclamation point.
Which she came up to.
And you actually got a chance to come up and see
it. Yes, I did. I was like, hearing that they were going to do that was so cool. I mean, it was kind of like Hairspray or Little Shop of Horrors or something. And I was like, they're going to do a musical of a movie that I was in. That's so cool. A movie that I made 10 years ago that people are still interested in.
Mm-hmm.
Enough to go see a stage musical of it.
Did you got a chance to meet the person who portrayed you?
Yes, I did. I got there and Chris is like, she really wants to meet you. So I was like, oh yeah, I can't wait to meet her. So I got my picture taken with her. It was kind of surreal. She's like, I think, less than half my age, which is funny.
Did she ask, did I do a good job or anything?
I told her that she did a good job.
Oh, you, okay.
Notice she asked me. I thought that she was great because she did say, I hope that I can live up to your performance. Because, you know, I mean, when someone else has played that role first, and that's like what you see, of course,
you're going to equate it to that, basically. Yeah. So, babe, what was her name again? The actress who played the...
Hannah Monterey Jones.
Thank you.
There you go. Oh, nice.
I only ever remember actor names. I never remember real people names, and I'm terrible for that. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry, but that's how I roll.
So that was so cool of you to come and see it, and I know...
She was falling all over herself excited. I mean, all the teenagers wanted to meet their, you know, their counterpart,
uh-huh.
But she was, like, kind of falling all over herself. She was darling.
She was so... sweet.
Yeah.
That it was kind of funny that she was playing Amy, because she was such a nice girl. And she's like, yeah, I usually do play the nice girl, so it's kind of fun to be playing the bad girl in this. And I loved the play. The songs were really good. They used Chris's songs from the movies and then did some other songs too. And the song that Jonathan and Amy did together was hilarious.
It's so charming.
Yes. You can buy the musical, the cast recording of the musical, also
right
at SaintEuphoria.com.
Yes, and so the DVD will be out shortly.
Yes.
Hopefully.
He is still
Christmas.
Working on that. I know he said he was going to try to get it out before Christmas. For those of you that want to relive the experience, or for those of you that weren't able to come but wanted to see it anyway, because he got every night he shot from a different camera vantage, so it's not just going to be one static camera shot, and he's going to use the sound from the mixing board from the performances, and so he's going to stitch it all together. It just takes a little bit more time than it normally would if he was actually shooting a film. So
yes.
I was listening to the musical on the way over here. Does that qualify as a super fan? Yes.
Yes.
I wish I had taken my car, because it's in the CDs in my car, and here Ma pulls up, pushes the play button, and here it is.
Nice. Yes. And what's your favorite song from the musical, if I may ask?
Oh,
if I might diverge.
I don't know. They're all really good. The two originals. The Canoe Clap one is.
Yeah. I
really
kind of lost it during paddling along every night.
Now I have to bleep. Thanks.
Sorry. I did, though. I super fanned every. I couldn't be an audience member during that song. Every other one, I'm super cool and, like, you know, whatever. I'm doing my job. I'm a lighting designer, you know. I was trying to be kind and, you know, laugh at different places and clap at different places so that the actors got used to it. But I wasn't, you know, it was all in a very kind of third person kind of way, except during paddling along.
Yeah, you fangirled out every single time.
I fangirled every single time.
I love paddling along.
It's so ridiculous.
That's why we still use it in the intro for the podcast after all these years.
Yep.
I mean, I wasn't the only one singing along.
No.
No.
Oh, no. I was too.
So when you saw the re-release of Monster Family in 3D, what did you think? Be honest.
I thought it was really exciting that people still cared about this movie that I did 10 years ago. Also, Chris has mentioned before that not seeing it in 3D, and I don't really think it needed to be in 3D, but it was just... what was really cool was seeing, like the intro.
Yes.
When the opening credits and stuff in 3D. And it was pretty cool, and it was, like, the old style of 3D, and I really liked that. And I don't know. It's so fun to see it now, because I've seen it so many times that, you know, I just know it too well. But I love seeing, like, audiences react to it. It's kind of fun to see how an audience that's familiar with it versus someone who's never seen it before reacts to it. Like, if you watch it with people who've seen all the movies, mm-hmm. when Brad takes the flashlight and flashes it in his face, someone goes, "It begins!"
Yes.
Because they're so used to that. And to see other people like laughing and things at it when it's the first time they've seen it is really fun too.
Is this the one thing that you've done professionally speaking that has had the most staying power, I guess would be the, for lack of a better word?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I've have a lot of movies that have been released on DVD. I think because Chris keeps making movies and keeps promoting them, that Monster of Phantom Lake is still something that people are talking about.
And it was such a, I mean, yeah, I know it, to a certain extent it drives him crazy when, you know, because people are like, he's made other films since then, but I know there's a certain amount of happiness that goes along with it and a certain amount of frustration that goes along with it too, because he has made other films, but people keep going back to Monster of Phantom Lake. But because it was so good and it was his first one, and there's just a certain amount of charm to that film, and a lot of people that I run into, and they're just like, you know, other films may technically be better, but the first one just has a charm that none of the other ones do.
Yes, it does, because it's kind of how he was learning how to make films.
Yes.
I mean, you compare it to, like, The Giant Spider, which I think is similar to Monster of Phantom Lake in a lot of ways. It has kind of the same tone, but it's, like, it's so much more refined, like, he really knows what he's doing, where
yes.
Monster of Phantom Lake, it does have this charm because it's somebody who's never made a movie before, you know, just doing his best, doing something, an homage to a kind of film that he loves. And I mean, I think that's what's appealing to people about it.
If Amy hadn't died in Monster Phantom, like, would you have reprised her?
Oh yeah, of course.
You could always do a prequel though, like the events leading up to Monster Phantom Lake.
That was one thing that I didn't even think of until Dr. Bob like announced that this one is where Skeeto like technically takes place before Monster Phantom Lake.
Yes.
And it's the first one that does.
Actually, you were already led into exactly where I was going to go. You had a chance after the Where Skeeto premiere. You have family that lives in the Columbus, Ohio area.
Yes, yes. I was born in Springfield, and I grew up in Minnesota, but my parents moved back to Springfield.
There you go, which isn't all that far away from the Columbus, Ohio area, which is home of the Dr. Bob and the Midnight Monster movies. They're official horror host of the Mimiverse, and you went to the Columbus Gateway Theater premiere of
yes.
Where Skeeto. And so tell us all about that for those of us who weren't there.
Oh, it was so fun. Dr. Bob's whole thing, it just really fits really well with the Mimiverse.
It really does.
It's like he's a horror host, but it's more like a sci-fi thing. And I was saying that I wanted to go because I wanted it was like an excuse to see my family, and then Dr. Bob said, would you play a character on stage?
That's so cool.
I know. I was like, oh, no way. That would be so fun. And he said, okay, because we have this great idea that there's, you know, the Space Queen, and we want it to actually be Hagra. And they said, I'm, like, I think the second character, I think you were the first.
Yes.
To cross over from the Mimiverse into Dr. Bob's universe.
That is correct.
So I got to, They bought me this really cool Space Queen outfit. I like loved it. They ordered it for me, and so I got to I like came out, and we rehearsed a little bit beforehand because I had, you know, I didn't know too much about the story, and so they gave me, you know, some background, and so I got to play Hagra again. It was so much fun. I loved playing Hagra. I'm always comparing Hagra to Liesel, and Liesel is a much more real character. She's got a lot more going on, and the thing that Chris always remembers me saying about Hagra is that she's evil for evil's sake. She doesn't really have like a lot of motivation and a lot of complexity. She doesn't have that many complex thoughts just other than being evil. But it's so much fun to play that, to just be like just really big and do that voice again. And so that was really exciting.
How many people were there?
I don't know. I'd say probably like 50.
It's hard to see because they got the light shining on you, and then it's a completely insanely raked theater.
Yeah,
it's the new style theater where the seats are really, really raked up, so you cannot possibly be obstructed by the person sitting in front of you unless that person is Andre the Giant, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
You know what
you
I mean?
You could practically stand.
You could stand, and still the person sitting behind you could completely see. So did you end up signing a lot of autographs and stuff?
Yeah, I did. They sold a lot of copies of that movie, I think.
Nice.
The people really were familiar with a lot of Chris's movies, and they were really excited. They had a costume contest, and I got to judge the costume contest. They had a Q&A at the end, which is funny because I know Chris doesn't really like doing Q&As. After he always says that they always do Q&A at the end. But they're like, they asked me if I would want to, and I was like, sure. So that, yeah, it was so much fun, and they're such nice people.
That's true. It's hard to say no to Dr. Bob.
Oh, yeah, I know. I was thrilled to be, and he said, thank you so much for doing this. I was like, thank you for having me. It was such a good time. My dad came with me, and he was, like, it was really exciting for him, too.
That's nice. So many times I think people worry about their kids when they're actors, but I don't think you really need worrying about, but it's nice for him to see that, you know, people are liking what you're doing,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, that the quality of the things that you're in is good.
Actually, that brings me, you just mentioned your father. Didn't, on a previous podcast, didn't you say your dad's favorite role that you've ever done was one of Chris's films? Or am I mistaken?
It's definitely one of Chris's films. I know that, I don't know which one it was, if it was Monster of Phantom Lake or Cave Women on Mars, but I mean, they've seen a lot of the movies that I've been in, but they can't see all of them. Some of them are like way too scary.
Fair enough.
So, I mean, that I think that's kind of why they like Chris's movies, because there's something that they can watch. They're not too violent. Like,
yes.
Because I do a lot of horror movies.
Which, yeah, we'll talk about some of the other things that you've got coming up here, because you are in a couple other things as well. I'm getting ahead of myself.
Yeah, a couple premieres this year.
Yeah, one in London.
Well,
that was for an award.
Yeah, that was for... Yeah, I guess it was also... There was a premiere that I didn't go to the screening, but there was the... Film Fest International nominated me for Best Supporting Actress in a Short Film. And so I... Usually when independent films give awards, they just give awards and you get a certificate and that's it. But this is like... They have a trophy and they have nominees and they have an awards ceremony and an awards dinner and everything. And I was like... I got to go to this. So I flew out to London and I won.
Oh, congratulations. I didn't even know you won. So.
Yeah, I did. I was really surprised. I mean, I guess I think about it. I'm like, yeah, I did a good job in that movie. And I mean, why shouldn't I win? But I was pretty blown away that I did.
That is so cool.
And it was a great dress. Thank you very much.
Oh, thanks.
Wait, you saw the pictures? How come I didn't see the pictures?
Well, because I'm friends with Rachel on Facebook.
So am I.
Uh-huh. Maybe not.
That's how it's going to be.
Maybe not.
Maybe she just took me out of her feed for those pictures.
Uh-huh.
It was the same dress that I wore to the Weirskido premiere.
Oh. Lovely.
See, I didn't remember that. I'm not much of a mega fan, apparently.
Yeah.
Sorry, girl.
You're one of the few people now that have actually been to every single premiere.
There's three now.
Yeah, it's me, you, and the entire Mim family.
Well, and Ed.
Ed
yeah,
as
he
well.
Doesn't count his family, so. Yeah.
We're the only super fans.
No, we're not.
I tell ya.
No, don't be like that. So, Rachel, we were talking about Weirskido on the way over,
mm-hmm.
and how we don't think it's a kids' movie.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's very... There's one thing that I've always said that has really amazed me about Chris's movies is how much children like them. Because it's... To me, I always thought that to get them, you had to be familiar with the kind of movies that they're paying homage to. Which, like, a lot of MST3K fans are, and then just old sci-fi horror people are interested in that. But I was surprised at how many children really loved them. I still remember that one little girl who was, like, 3 years old who had... Like it was like her favorite movie, and her parents had written Chris a letter saying, "This girl loves your movie. She tells everyone about it. She tries to get everyone to watch this." And Weirskido is not really really scary, but I mean it's much darker because it's about Nazis, and I mean it's dealing with Nazis in a pretty realistic way because it's about, you know, Weirskido and this creature. It's a monster movie, and it's silly, but it's not silly because if somebody really did that to you, if they turned you into a monster like that, it would be horrifying, and you'd be very angry.
Mm-hmm. Well, and as we were talking about, you can, Chris told you and you told him, like, you can deal with Nazis in a real kind of jokey kind of way, or you can deal with them in a realistic way, and this was very realistic. I mean, how many people do you imagine were involved in this, and then they went off and had real lives afterwards. Well, what did they do?
Yeah.
How did they deal with that? How did it affect them? Or, you know, how did they move on with their lives after this incident that everyone else thinks is absolutely horrific, which they may or may not have believed in? You don't know. It's sort of an interesting telling of, as you said, kind of real events. I don't know. It's a fictionalization, but I don't know.
Yes, it's a fictionalization, but I mean, the way that it deals with Nazis is like, yeah, that was a real thing, and it was really bad, and it was, I mean...
He doesn't shy away from it being really bad.
No, because you don't have to, when you do an exploitation movie like that, which, exploitation meaning a movie that guarantees an audience by subject matter alone, is what Roger Corman defines an exploitation movie as, you don't have to treat Nazis as silly, and you don't have to have it just be funny all the time.
Right.
And because it's really, the idea of a Weirskido is like really over the top and ridiculous, but it's, I mean, it's still about Nazis.
It is. I mean, much like Hellboy, that's one of the reasons I enjoy that movie. Well, I kind of like all of the Nazi-ish movies, the ones around that time. I like Cabaret. I like The Sound of Music.
Uh-huh.
You know, but it's sort of like people's lives are going on despite these things happening. And this is after all of that. But I don't know. It's sort of interesting to see people's lives and what happens, or, you know, how it impacts them, or I don't know what they did during or what they did after, or what have you.
Yeah. Well, yes, and because my character, and this is spoilers. I'm hoping people will see this movie, but it's. She's just kind of going about her life, and she, you know, lives in this town. She has this ex-boyfriend that she doesn't want to run into, but she has no idea that a lot of the people in her town and her family were Nazis.
Well, exactly. She doesn't believe for one second that her loving father would be that terrible person.
Yeah, because he has to, I mean, he's compartmentalized all of that. He's
yes.
not going to go around being evil Dr. Schramm all the time, and he is a loving father to her, so she has to like sort of reconcile this.
Right.
Because then, like, when John Baker comes back and, like, he wants to kill her father, she kind of understands why.
Right.
Because
he never taught her hate.
It's like, it's that, this is something that's really, that he did, that is really horrible, and I know that it's really horrible, and I'm just trying to reconcile that with him being my father. And she's, when John's going to kill her father, she's not saying, no, stay, you're, I hate you, stay away, because she's just trying to talk him down instead, because she kind of sympathizes with him, because she does know that the Nazis did horrible things.
Right. Right. And she never saw that in her father at all, ever.
No, because I think that's probably how a lot of those people were.
Mm-hmm.
They would go and, like you said, just live normal lives when all of that was over.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was only at that time that they were even allowed to be that horrible.
Right.
When it was over, they couldn't.
Well, and what do you think about him basically brainwashing or experimenting on his own daughter? Like, I thought that was interesting. I didn't catch on immediately that he put her in a spell, you know, and she's standing there. I couldn't figure out if she was trying to figure out who is this person, or if she was under a spell for, like, a little while. And then I was like, oh, she's an experiment too.
Yes.
Before your transformation.
Well, there was a deleted scene, as it was, Chris thought that it kind of gave away too much, when John comes back and sees her, and he asks her if she's okay, and she's like, what do you mean? And she's like, oh, yeah, my head. And she says, my dad came over and gave me his old world cures, and now I'm fine.
Oh.
And it, you know, was kind of referencing that he had probably been doing this a lot, but just acting as if it was, like, normal medicine, and she didn't know.
Was
because
that filmed?
Because Ron thinks it's, like, a gift. Yes, I think it's a deleted scene on the
okay.
DVD. It was a really difficult scene for me to do, because, like, the idea was that he was trying to figure out what the hell was going on and,
right.
you know, get to the bottom of this, and she likes him. So it's, like, throughout this whole scene, like, she's supposed to be flirting with him, and he's not. And that was so hard, because I'm like, Liesl isn't dumb. And
right.
I was, like, trying to, I was talking to them about this. I'm like, okay, like, Liesl likes him, and he doesn't like her, but she's going to pick up on that. She's not going to just... And she doesn't think so much of herself that she would expect him to just like her, even though he's not interested in her at this time.
Right.
He's got much more important things on his mind, and she's... And so, I mean, for a lot of reasons, like, the scene, like, didn't work. But it was a really, really hard scene for me to do, because I couldn't figure out how to play it. Because I'm like, Liesl is smarter than that.
True. True. Yeah, well, and I mean, it's proven in the movie that she is a popular person. You know, boys desire her.
Yeah.
And so, like, why wouldn't she... She wouldn't devalue herself and think she wasn't worth someone going after her. But, yeah, if she likes him, she's going to keep it going. That would be a hard thing to work.
It was really... It was difficult. And it's... A lot of things about the character that people were saying, like, when we started, is, like, she seems like she keeps saying John, like, John is her favorite word, and it's like she seems like she's really clingy, but she's supposed to be such a strong, independent woman. And I was looking at it like, yes, she is, but, like, she likes him, and that's a big deal to her.
Right.
Because she's very guarded with her emotions because of everything that she's been through with this abusive boyfriend. That she meets someone that she likes and who's really cool, it's not just like, oh, I met this guy and I'm kind of interested in him, he's kind of cute, whatever. She's like, this is... I someone that she thinks she might like is a huge deal.
Right.
So she's going to make a big deal about it, not because she's like super clingy or codependent or anything.
Right.
It's just, it's not very common.
She's
for her.
The opposite of that.
Yeah.
I think most of the boys like her, but maybe she doesn't always like them as much. Maybe.
Well, we don't know how she does.
That's right. We've only seen one. And he's a turd.
It's a small town. Who knows?
I mean, and it is Shervin. I mean, come on.
Well, he's super likable.
I know.
It's still Dan Shervin, though.
When we were filming, that was such a... That scene... I loved filming that scene because... the one in the diner because... His daughters were there, and they wanted to come.
That
back
was the I was there for that filming, dear.
Because as I had been saying about Alice before, Alice Mim, like she loves this whole thing. Chris always says she's going to be a filmmaker, and like I asked her, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" And she said, "A director."
Huh?
And I was like, "Yeah, I bet you will," because she would be able to sit there and watch like me and Doug do the same dialogue over and over and over again, and not get bored, and. You know, and then she'd be like, "Daddy, that pillow fell down. I'm going to put it back up." Like, she was, like, the continuity director, and she noticed everything. So Dan's daughters came over to play with her, but she wanted to go down and still see the movie. So they came down, and so Dan's telling them, like, "Look, Daddy's a bad guy, okay?" But and this scene where they threw the coffee on him. Like, Alice said action a lot, but they were going to let Dan's daughters say action, and... One of them was real nervous. I'm like, "No, it's okay. You can do it." And then she eventually did it. And they had done the coffee where he throws, you know, pretends to throw the coffee and he pretends to get coffee on over him. And then they were going to do the one with the real coffee. And Dan's daughters were just freaking out. They're like, "Yeah, real coffee, real coffee."
Yeah.
They could not wait to see their dad get hit in the face with real coffee.
Yeah. It was cold for anybody who cares.
Yes, it was cold.
It was cold coffee.
Nah, why are you guys so nice to Shervin?
I know, right? He is kind of a... No, I'm just kidding. I love Dan.
It was different to see him like that because he's so charming and likable.
Oh, very much so.
Oh, God, yeah. He's not like that at all.
No.
He's not pushy.
He did a really good job of being kind of a creep.
Yeah,
he was kind of the drunk jerk, man. It was awesome. You had brought up before Doug. Is this the film, first film you've ever worked with Doug Sidney on?
No, actually, the first film
Have
that
you
I
seen
ever...
Cave Woman? Oh, Doug, I'm sorry.
Doug Sidney.
I'm like, who? No, Doug.
Back on the bus, dear.
Back on the bus. Sorry, I got engrossed in the conversation.
The first movie that I ever did anything on, Doug was the lead in. It was called Doom to Consume.
That sounds horrifying.
It was a zombie movie.
Oh, awesome.
He was a lead and I was like a featured zombie. That was the first time that I ever met him. So I've known him for very many years. I have not really done very many scenes with him. So there's been a couple movies where we were both in and we didn't have any scenes together. So this was cool because I know Doug pretty well and I got to work with him a lot on this. So it was fun.
Interesting. So the reason I ask is because I asked Doug, and he basically said the same thing. But what was it like working with Doug after all this time? I mean, working directly with him as a co-star.
It was really cool. I was telling you about that scene that we did where Liesl was flirting, and I told him, like, "I am nervous about doing this scene. I don't know." And he knew just what to say. He's like, it's okay. Because I was like, "I don't want to do this." And he's just he's really chill. He's just really easy to be around. And he's, like, as an actor, he's very focused. He's really serious about what he does.
Hmm.
And he drove me to set a lot because I don't know how to drive. So he would pick me up and we talked a lot about the characters. And that's always helpful.
So yes. Doug Sidney, all around good guy.
Actually, true fact.
Yeah.
And Dan Shervin, to be realistic.
Also true fact. Well, there's really not kind of a lump in the Mimiverse group, but... Ooh, speaking of lumps in the Mimiverse group...
Where are you going with this?
So I read on the internets that that Chris is going to do interviews. What the fuck is it really called when it's really an actor thing?
So that would be an audition, dear.
An audition. Are you going to help with the auditions?
I would love to if I can.
Because I told him I would run them for him, but you said the same thing, too. And I'm like, well, is this going to happen soon? But, okay.
I just think that's a really good idea.
I do, too.
He hasn't done it in so long, and...
There's a whole new crop.
There are a lot of actors out there that probably, I mean... People probably want to meet him and don't really know how. They don't know how to get to know him. And I think if they... I mean, Well, he had like a few auditions and he got so many great people from those.
Right. Yes.
He could stock it for another almost 10 years off of one or two
auditions. Yeah, like it came from another world. I think he auditioned like one role and he got like five women that he works with regularly
right.
on. And yeah, so I can't wait for that. I think it's, and it's so many of my friends are like, oh, I really want to work with that guy. I really love those movies.
And we've met just enough of your friends. They're all really cool people, Chris. You should totally have auditions.
I was going to say, because you had so graciously, and thank you for inviting us to your birthday party. And
Oh, yes. That was so fun.
That was so fun. And we didn't know anybody there, but everybody was so cool.
Yeah, you didn't know anybody
there.
I
knew one.
I knew zero.
I knew Jennifer.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah,
I know Jennifer.
Right.
And
yeah.
But we had never talked to her.
No. What kind of reactions have you gotten to your performance and the film, speaking strictly of Where Skeeto?
Well, I think what I was saying before about Mike Cook, I think a lot of people are surprised to see that kind of acting in Where Skeeto. I always compare it to Grindhouse, or the Grindhouse movie that, you know, the Quentin Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez did. They said that they wanted to make a movie that lives up to the posters, which is like, you see the posters and you're like, oh, that looks really cool, and then you watch it and it's not even just that it's bad, but it's also really boring, and there's a lot of just stuff of people talking.
Yes.
And like a Quentin Tarantino movie, but Roberto Rodriguez did make a movie that lived up to the posters, in my opinion.
I would completely agree with that.
And I think that Chris's movies, like when he started out, he was kind of recreating these kind of 1950s movies, and now especially with Where Skeeto, I think it's kind of like he is making a movie that like lives up to the posters, like a movie that is solid and doesn't get slow and is like well acted, because the acting in Where Skeeto is like, it's real. I'm not just saying that because it's me. I mean, it's because of the way that Chris wrote it,
mm-hmm.
that it's a lot more complex and interesting than like say Amy was.
Yeah, the characters aren't as flat.
Yeah. And not to say that it isn't fun to play a flat character. It's, you know, it's a thing, and there are flat characters in movies like that sometimes, but this
Well, and they further the movie just fine in their own way, too. I mean, I'll defend Monster of Phantom Lake because it is still my favorite movie, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, they further the movie just fine
just
in their
fine.
Own way.
Just fine.
Because they're supposed to be that way, and it's,
yeah.
and it's okay. But it's, I mean... A lot of, I don't know, I think people seem to really like it. I think Chris was nervous about it. He said before that he was nervous about it because it was so different, because it was darker and it's not as family oriented, because a lot of his audiences were families. I think people would like to watch the movies with their kids, and this was not something that you could watch movies with their young children, because I would always tell my friends who had kids, like, oh, you can come see Monster Phantom Lake and you can bring your 4-year old, like he'd be able to see it, but not so much with Where Skeeto. But I think that Where Skeeto is for a new audience. I think there are a lot of people that will like it that would not have wanted to see Monster Phantom Lake.
Oh, I'll buy that. I'll buy that completely.
Yep.
You know? Actually, speaking of performances,
yeah.
We haven't spoke to our fire tenders in a while.
Give Rachel a wee break.
I was going to say, Mom, you look a little cold, but you're doing fine. And Teresa's kicking ass on this fire. She's looking good. She's making fires.
It's really nice fire.
Yeah, it's a really good fire.
And it's, yes.
Just wanted to add one more thing.
Nice.
One more thing.
I agree with the Esperanto translators that the title was indeed controversial. I actually almost didn't contribute right away. And I am contributing under an alter ego name, shall we say. The really long one, but I did finally, budget allowed, I could donate.
There you go. What did you think of Where Skeeto?
It was good. I liked the ending. But
don't spoil that.
I was gonna say,
we're not talking about the ending?
It all in
no.
What?
But I do agree it was a controversial title.
It was, I guess the word that I would use is maybe edgier. It was edgier than a lot of his movies.
I was just quoting the Esperanto.
Yeah, they said it was controversial.
Yes, and I said, I agree, it was a controversial title. Not necessarily the content, just the title.
I can see where you're
coming
from.
Well, what did you think of the content? Do you think the content was controversial?
No, it was good. It was well done. It was well... tied it all together, and again, the ending made sense why he decided to pick that kind of a movie, and it all kind of came in together, and it was well played. You couldn't see too much of stuff. There are some movies like, V for Vendetta, it implies things that you don't see. It's the same kind of a concept, and I prefer ones that imply things that you don't see because you leave it up to the imagination. But sometimes imagination is bigger than you think.
Yeah. Well, one thing that I think Stephanie Mim said, I believe it was her, she said that probably sounds more controversial on paper when you read the script than when you actually see the movie. So somebody who just read the script might think, ooh, I don't know about that. But
it's all in how you treat it.
Yeah, it's the way that it's treated, it's like really tasteful, because there is a scene where a girl is chained up and fed to a mosquito.
Well, and just the piggy speech is very unappealing.
I know, it's like, whoa, that's dark.
It is, but it's so tastefully executed.
Yeah,
that
it is.
It just gives you the willies, and then you're like, all right.
Well, it gives you the willies, but it doesn't like dehumanize the character.
True.
Chris said that the little piggy thing came because of Deliverance.
Hmm.
Because of the squeal like a piggy scene. And I was like, oh yeah. And I was like, because that's so dark and it's super creepy.
And just to add, just to add one more thing.
It's like Chris is here. I love this.
You're enjoying this.
I can't look at my fridge the same way anymore. Someone got a little pig towel that says this is only for clean hands, and I go, okay, come here, little piggy.
Oh, jeez.
Little piggy.
It's a cute little piggy towel hanging from the fridge.
Not so cute anymore.
Yeah.
It's ruined.
Way to ruin towels, Chris. God. Selfish bastard.
Yeah, when I was at the screening the other night in Forest Lake, the part when John comes in and she's talking to him and he said, where is your father? And then you say, I am here, little piggy. Everyone in the audience was like, oh! And it's so cool to see people like react to that when they don't know that it's coming.
Nice.
I actually did see that one coming.
You did?
Yeah, I did. I was just hoping it wasn't true.
Yeah.
Nice.
It probably didn't distract from the movie much, though.
No,
huh?
It didn't.
So you're anticipating it. You're more like, please don't. Oh, man.
I know he's in there. I just know it. Yeah. I can't. He's going to say something.
He's just off camera.
Yeah.
Dang it. So, actually, Teresa, while you're on the mic, you've seen all the films. You won't go so far as to say super fan, but you basically qualify as a super fan.
If you've seen all the movies, I think that you do.
And you've contributed.
Yes.
And you've been to several premieres.
All of them but two.
And you listen to this show.
Yeah, I'm catching up on it.
Fantastic.
we have to ask.
What is your favorite Rachel Grubb film?
Rachel Grubb. Yeah, do you know who that is?
No.
I'm
no,
not
she
good
doesn't.
With names.
Never remember actor names, ever.
Yeah, right.
Sorry, actors.
Well, if I listened carefully, let's see. The choices are Phantom Lake.
Yep. Cavewomen.
Cavewomen on Mars.
There you go.
And then the new one. Am I missing one?
No.
Nope.
Just those.
Okay. You mean the favorite movie or the favorite part she plays?
Ooh. Yeah, that's a good point.
All right, let's do both.
I would say, both.
Let's do both.
And which role.
Now, realize she's here, so, I mean, I don't want Rachel to cry, so. I like Rachel a lot. She's really awesome.
I have pretty
But I know how to make her cry. Just put more wood on the fire and start crying. Yeah. And I have ways.
Yes. You are actually more in control of this show right now than I am.
Fact.
I don't know. I'd have to think about that.
All right. We'll come back to you then.
Okay.
You spoke earlier about the final scene. Now, I don't want to spoil the twist, for lack of a better word, but we do like to throw Mitch Gonzalez under the bus.
Yeah, let's throw Mitch Gonzalez under the bus.
What?
Nice. So this was the first time in the Mimiverse that you actually got to get all Mitchified, for lack of a better
word. Yes, it was.
How was that like? What did you think of the makeup? Was it difficult to act in? Go. I mean,
It was pretty. I don't want to say without giving too much away. When you see the movie, it was hard to see. So that it, I mean, that was kind of difficult, and I couldn't talk, and but I mean, I love the makeup, and I just, I really like Mitch. Like, I like talking to Mitch. I know he's, like, I remember the first time that I was on this podcast, he was the fire tender, and I was trying to think, what's that movie that Arch Hall Jr. was in that's based on the Charlie Stark weather murders? And he's like, The Sadist. And I was like, yeah, well, I can't believe you know that. Yeah, like, he knows a lot of.
And he didn't even
like
miss
that.
A beat. He yeah. literally just
his
got it right away.
Amazing.
Yes. And I don't know, he knows, like, a lot. We like a lot of the same music, I think, too, and he's just a really cool guy to be around generally.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, it wasn't that difficult doing the makeup. A lot of people asked, like, how long did that take? And I think it was like a couple hours, but I don't even remember because it was just kind of a pleasant experience.
That's nice.
It was hard to see, but I mean, it was totally worth it.
Nice.
Was that the original makeup that you were supposed to have?
I don't think so.
Oh, is there a story there?
I don't remember. I feel like there was something else that he was going to do, and then he didn't do it. So I don't know. I think he may have switched it. Yeah, you should.
Okay.
You should
this
ask
is
him.
Not me throwing Mitch under the bus. Ask. Actually, this is actually. I thought I heard a story that actually Mitch was planning on doing something else.
I thought that I did
else.
Too, but I can't really remember now because it was so long ago. But yeah, I think it was not the original plan.
I think he was having a problem with the face cast, though.
Did you get your face cast for this?
No.
No. Okay.
Hmm.
Interesting.
I was at the premiere, and Dan and Doug came up to me. They were asking me, they said, what was real? And I was like, what do you mean? And
well, your jaw was real.
Well, yeah, he said, you, like, I think that they thought that the eyes were, like, put on, like, in post. And I was like, no, those were on my face. And they're like, how can you see? Like, it was not easy.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah, luckily you didn't have a fight scene.
Oh, yeah, luckily I didn't.
No, Mitch was very proud of that makeup. He asked me, we were working on the monster costume for the musical, and he asked me if I had read the script, and I said, no, I'm specifically not, so that I can go in as a punter. And he showed me the makeup for the Weresquito, and I was like, oh, Doug's the Weresquito. I thought it looked exactly like Doug. He's like, yeah. And I was like, well, then good job, because it looks like you took his face and stretched it. It looks exactly like Doug.
Uh-huh.
Good job. And then he's like, can I show you Rachel? And I'm like, Rachel's in makeup?
I know, that was a big
secret. And he's like, flip, 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 here. And he showed me, and I'm like, ooh. But it was with the teeth. Did you wear the teeth the
yeah.
whole movie? Because there were some scenes that I didn't feel like I saw them, and I'm like, why isn't she wearing the teeth?
When I was the thing?
Yeah, yeah.
No, I think I always had them.
Oh, okay. Maybe you just changed your mouth and I couldn't see them.
Probably I did. I moved my mouth a lot because I couldn't talk with that in, and I was supposed to be talking, so I wanted it to at least look like I was talking. So I kind of was trying to open and close my lips.
Oh, okay.
I couldn't open and close my jaw.
Right, right. Huh. Interesting.
Yeah, I thought the Weresquito makeup was pretty badass.
It's pretty sweet. It's pretty sweet.
I don't know. I'm getting cold, I have to admit.
Are you? Should we take a pause and stand real close to the fire and have some cake?
Cheesecake?
Cheesecake.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a break here. We'll keep this fire going, and we're going to pause for some cheesecake and a warm-up.
Haha, cheesecake.
Too bad you're not here, Chris.
Haha, cheesecake.
Download part 2, ladies and gentlemen.